When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. We're all reunited here in the studio at 75 and Fitzhugh. Let's do this. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Very proud of his UT Texas Cowboy son. And he's got a Longhorn getup today.
How about that?
You can see us.
Hook him.
Online. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there at Mass Control here. 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 5. Wolchuk and Chiofalo, they are reunited. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Really, it looks like in the text, picking up for the conversation that we had in Crosstalk, if you have bad water pressure, you got to get a separate tank that the city line feeds, and then you get a pump. And if you have old lines, they can become calcified and highly narrow, which will not allow enough water to get through. So you might have to replace your lines.
There you go.
But it kind of starts with a separate tank, maybe in your garage, I'm thinking, maybe outside, but with a pump in it that can fire that water into your shower and your different faucets at the appropriate, you know, is it PSIs, I think, maybe, something like that. But I know that, you know, I know that struggle well from... Yeah. From living in, you know, city areas for a lot of my life. Not until you get out into that new construction where that thing comes blasting through, you know, at a good level. Dang near a water massage there coming out of the shower head.
It's always miserable when that thing's just barely dripping down on you. And you're like, was it even worth it to soap the body? Because I'll be here all day trying to get this off.
Yeah, dude, it is. It's a struggle. Okay, Micah Parsons' podcast last night says, I'm going to put this out there. We're a damn good football team. And, you know, I do think Micah just wants to say, I'm a damn good football player. Y'all see those 10 pressures? They cannot block me, bro. But you can't say that when your team is struggling. So you say you're a dang good football team. I don't know. I'm reaching. I'm
trying like to, some cope.
Yes, there you go. Copium.
Nah, man, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. We just need that, this, and that, and this and that to come together.
Just a couple things.
Just a couple more things.
Yeah, you know, I need somebody to stand up and call them out for how bad they are. You know, I think that's where it starts. And this team appears to be like a combination of in denial and not caring, you know, with the way that they're playing. You know, I that's out there. In fairness, they are probably one of the best 28 football teams in the entire world, you know, and that's pretty cool. I tell my girls, we're one of the best 25 teams or so in our age range in the state. That's pretty badass. You know, if you think about how many different teams are out there, how many high school teams, how many college, you're in the upper 1% of football teams, Micah. So, you know, I wouldn't, you know, try to tear that down too much, but dang it, I need somebody to stand up there and do what Troy Aikman did on that sideline. What year was that, Wolchuk brought us? Was that 97 when he has that epic rant? And he's like, why do I got to be the bad
Chan
guy?
Chan Gailey, right?
That was
98 even.
I was there in 99. That was my first year, and I was kind of thinking that might have been
that might have been
right around when I came on board, because, you know, Troy was with us, you know, for a couple more years after that. But yeah, that was about that time, you know, when Chan Gailey and Jack Riley and all those guys were coaching him up. And man, it was a Troy, let you know what the situation really was. Give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, you know, I think leaders, they accept reality for what it is. We're not in denial. Okay. Denial is what the Jones boys are doing, Micah. You know, he's probably in meetings right now. I know he's not listening. I feel like he does consume a lot of media, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's at some point in time, you know, he consumes our station or you know, other pieces of media. But you have to accept reality. You have to keep people accountable for not doing their job at creating the reality that you want. You know, it's not in denial, rah, rah. That's not leadership. That's not what this football team needs. So, You know, I guess it's content. I think, Eric, you pointed that out last week. Like, he's leading the league in hot takes.
Well, I mean, he's a full-time, like, content managing editor for Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
So he's got a job to do.
He does.
And I get that. And he and other players probably look at Jerry like, oh, Jerry gets to go do all these shows and create his own narrative.
Yeah.
So why can't I?
Sure.
And I get that, you know. I get that, and I wouldn't want to tell him you can't do that too. But I do wish the Cowboys just had better leaders. You know,
right.
that's all I want. And you know, I was disappointed to see Micah phrase it in that way. Look around the other, you know, teams that are disappointing, and then find the great leaders and see how they're phrasing it. See what they're saying, you know, to help get the thing turned around. Because now, you know, we're showing up, we're having a good time. We're D'ing off, like Tyler Guyton's making the same mistake 2 weeks in a row, you know, like all the penalties. Where does that come from? It's the mentality that we have done it, or we're good. You know, we are here. We're Cowboys. This is amazing. Everybody loves watching us. This is so good, you know, and we're just unlucky, you know.
But everything you said is exactly what Jerry says.
Yes.
That's okay. It's okay to be hanging around that rim. We have made it. We've won 12 games the last 3 years in a row. We've been one of the winningest teams in football here lately. We've been really close. So we are good. We are a good team. We should be considered a contender and one of the best teams in the NFL. It doesn't matter that we haven't made a conference championship game in almost three decades. That doesn't matter. We're doing exactly what we should be doing, which is just hanging around that rim.
Mike McCarthy says he won't give up play calling duties. I kind of wonder if this is a line in the sand that could create a debate or maybe a fissure inside the organization.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about this several weeks ago, what you would like to see potentially some changes that were to be made. And, you know, if I was Jerry Jones, I would go up to Mike and I would recommend, I would say, listen, we're not really getting things done here offensively. Like to see maybe Shoddy call plays. And the minute he says no, he gives the answers that he doesn't see it that way, then I would have fired Mike McCarthy right there.
Yeah.
As a general manager. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I still believe that in my heart. You know, when you're and to me it's, you know, at the time you know, you've lost two games since we've had this discussion.
Yeah.
The offense is still, you know, Dak Prescott not being a part of it, but you know,
I think it's Mike just saying, if that's what you want, then I'm done here.
That's
I'm,
fine.
I'm clearly, and just let me go, please.
And I would let him go.
It would be embarrassing.
I would let him go.
Yes.
I would say, okay,
I would too.
Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate the 5+ years or the 5 years you gave here, man. We gave it a run. It didn't work out. We'll pay you out, but we're going a different direction now.
I think the only win for the organization would be, you know, creating that cut now. I don't know that there's a benefit to it. Oh, I don't think anybody else is going to draw up 30 points per game with this group of players.
Jerry has a beautiful jet, and he could fly around and talk to any coach. He could go visit Belichick. I think Belichick was in town for a speaking engagement.
So it would open you up for an open search already?
Yeah, you could go ahead and, you know, I mean, Jerry open searched while we were playing a game against the Philadelphia Eagles. If you remember the Donovan McNabb, you know, 2 minute running around back there in the pocket, he was at Teterboro Airport there interviewing Bill Parcells. You know, he had already determined that we were not good enough. We were going to all get let go at that point. And so, you know.
And he was so driven to win. Yeah. At that point in his career, I've got to go find a head coach. Wow.
Yeah. See, that's
different time.
That's where I think, to me, if Jerry Jones was like maybe a traditional general manager, you know, he's different in the way. He's a billionaire owner of a football team that is also the general manager. But a traditional general manager might, you know, be the guy that walks in there and says, listen, I'd like to see a change offensively in the play caller. And the minute the guy says, no, I don't think that's a good idea, then I would fire you. I mean, that's where it needs to be done, right then and there. Okay, you're saying that you don't trust what I'm seeing here. You know, you don't want to talk about it. You don't know. I don't. Well, then we have nothing. We have nothing we can go forward here. We have nothing. I'm not going to bring you back. I want to see if this guy can call plays. I want to see maybe if our offense will look a little bit different.
When we talked to Schottenheimer and Oxnard, guys, I mean, I asked him at one point, like, how did the NFL defenses get better at eliminating big plays and creating less yards per attempt in the run game. Like, wow, this was really two difficult things to accomplish in the same season. And Schottenheimer said that's when it comes down to the quarterback running. You know, you got to punish them for playing that style against you. And I would think that, you know, maybe Schottenheimer could think, maybe we can make something here out of Trey Lance in this offense.
That's where I was going with all this.
And if I'm the organization, I'm like, well, what else do we have to lose? Let's run it. Maybe we actually put on an entertaining game and find something that we could work on for the future.
Yeah, as a general manager, he made a fourth round trade for Trey Lance. You know, if you want to see Trey Lance play in the regular season, and it might not work out at all. You never know. It might not. It might work out. But that's where, as the general manager, that's what I would want to see.
Yeah.
I would tell him, like, okay, maybe we need to do this. Like, to me, Cooper Rush doesn't need to play any more games.
No.
No more games for Cooper Rush. The rest of the season is now all about Trey Lance.
No.
You know, because I need to figure out, I saw what Trey Lance did in during the preseason. Not great a lot, but now with, you know, 11 weeks into this thing, 12 weeks into this thing, maybe something's changed here.
Being safe is just going to put people to sleep. You're not going to win games with it like you were able to a couple of years ago with Cooper Rush.
That's why
you can't run this offense out there the way it is.
No.
And expect to get points. You just can't.
But Jerry keeps beating the Cooper Rush drum of like, no, he's the experienced guy. We think we can win with him. And Mike is saying, I wanted to put Trey Lance in there. I think they're happy.
Wanted to put him in at garbage time. Is what he wanted to do.
I wonder if the coaching staff and maybe others in that organization are like, I would rather play Lance, but it is to the GM. It is Jerry that still wants to try and win games, and he thinks Cooper Rush gives us a better chance to do that.
Or, okay, now we need to ask this question, too. Do the coaches want to play Trey Lance and Mike McCarthy doesn't want to play Trey Lance? Because he's trying to win games and stuff like that. Do the coaches feel like, see, to me, I'm not defending Jerry, but I'm saying maybe that Mike McCarthy is blocking some of the things. He doesn't want to change the play caller. He doesn't think that way. That's what he said.
Well, wanting to change the play caller. That is himself. If he's going to get fired, which he knows he is, I'm just going to call the damn plays.
I'm not going to be standing here doing nothing while I'm watching the last six games. You just let me go somebody else call plays. I'd love to see the Cowboys do it.
Listen, Leo, if somebody hires Mike McCarthy, it's because of him and the way that his history of, you know, being a Super Bowl winning coach and the team and, you know, team building stuff like, not team building, I shouldn't say that, but how he manages the team. If somebody were to give him another opportunity, he's actually being selfish right now. Because, okay, what if you give Brian Schottenheimer the opportunity to call plays and in the next gig, Brian Schottenheimer, I mean, you know, now you've done your coaches a favor.
That might be to where Mike McCarthy's mental space is right now. He might be so fed up that he's like, no, I don't care who's the quarterback. We're just playing the string out. We're going to put some bad players in here. They're going to commit a bunch of penalties, a bunch of stupid turnovers. We're playing this out. You know, you gave me a crap team. Players got hurt. There's nothing to accomplish here.
This is where my experience, the crap team is on Jerry, Steven, Will McClay. It's on Mike McCarthy, too, because the head coach does have the ability to help pick players here. I mean, my experience. I mean, if you're the head coach, you have the opportunity. Dave Campo didn't take that opportunity. Bill Parcells did. You know, Wade Phillips, maybe not so much. You know, Mike McCarthy has a say in this roster. So when you start,
but he doesn't have a say in the budget. You know,
he has a say in who they have and who they don't have. He bitched the other day that they didn't sign their guys early enough. I get that. I agree with him on that. Mm-hmm. They didn't get it done early enough.
Well, a lot of big decisions facing this football team.
Maybe he asked them, like, hey, we need to get this done. We need to, you know, maybe that was something that they said, well, Mike, we can't.
I don't know how you would have wanted them to let go of Tyron Smith when you've seen when he's on your team and not over the last 4 years. You know, you quickly become a struggling offense without Tyron Smith.
Yeah, but you got rid of Tyron Smith because every week we'd come on the radio and talk about, is he going to be available this week?
You know, that one made sense to me.
See, like, that's to me where Tyron Smith...
I understand that move.
He played well last year.
He played
outside. That was a budget move. That was a cap casualty.
But there's times when I know that we've been on this show and talked about, what about availability? Oh, Tyron Smith, bad back. Tyron Smith, hamstring ripped off the bone. Tyron Smith, shoulder stingers. You know, every time, yes, he played well for you last year. And it was the first time in a long time he was actually healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time before that, we've done shows and talked about Tyron Smith holding you hostage.
I just think Mike McCarthy right now knows what time it is. And he has one of the worst five teams.
Yeah, he knows what time it is when three people are interviewing him after a game and everybody's talking to Jerry Jones.
I think the suggestion that you should change play callers means you screwed this up. There's no fixing it. This team is bad. No coach is going to come in here and find points. I'm going to write it out,
and I'm going to call the damn plays.
Well, you change coordinators. You're like, well, Mike's the reason this thing hasn't worked, and no coach is going to sign off.
But see,
on that.
That's the thing about it is he is the head coach. He has to wear that responsibility.
Yeah.
He's the one. But you know what? Never feel sorry for an NFL head coach that gets fired. These are making millions and millions of dollars. Don't feel sorry for him. Yeah, he came here. He resuscitated his career, in my opinion. If you look at it, man, you're like,
more success than any other coach has had here.
I would hire him. If I have a great team and I'm looking out there and I don't necessarily have the prerequisite that you run Shanahan or McVay offense.
Yeah.
I think Mike McCarthy has done, if you have a great roster, he will give you a chance to win the Super Bowl.
He'll give you a chance in the regular season to win games. He absolutely will. I worry about him in the playoffs, though. And we've seen that
They said the same thing about Andy Reid when he had McNabb. Now he has Mahomes. Guy can't lose.
No, he started. You know? Andy started turning things around, though, at Philadelphia. Yeah, at the end, he got fired.
Couldn't win the big game.
But, man.
They said about him. It was really his quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, Mike, this might be the last campaign, but I don't disagree with you about him going to someplace. Like, is he better off going to the Giants or somebody like that? Sure. One of these type of organizations? Sure, he is.
Well, thank you, sir. We got to run. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Wolchuk?
Yeah, let's do some NFL true or fart. Let's reflect on some of the craziness that happened over the weekend, and we'll get, do you agree? True? Do you disagree? We're farting on it. That's next.
Welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day coming up in 6 minutes. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here's Zachary.
All right, let's do it. NFL True or Fart Edition. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All righty, let's do it. We're going to start over with Brian Broaddus. The Detroit Lions, as of right now, are going to win the Super Bowl in New Orleans. True or fart?
That's my team. I'm going to say true. Absolutely. That's one of the best teams in football.
Dan Willis.
Well coached. Quarterback playing at a high level. Offensive line, running game, skilled players on the outside. Mm-hmm. We'll figure out what's going on at that pass rush a little bit, but they seem to be doing okay with it. They find a way to win close games. They're good on special teams. That's a complete football team right there. Injury is the only thing that can derail that thing.
Dude, I saw that Jahmyr Gibbs play that he gets like a swing pass or whatever out of the backfield and runs down the sidelines. Yeah. I thought I was watching it in hyperspeed.
Yeah.
I thought they were doing something because fast he is moving on that is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to go fart on it just because I like what the Chiefs and I still think the Bills quarterback play, those guys taking over games. I don't know that Jared Goff is that guy. And I think Sean McDermott, Steve Spagnuolo, like those are two guys in a Super Bowl that will come ready to party and go toe-to-toe with this type of offense. So I will still go fart on that.
It's a high volume of football flatulence there, Wolchuk. Very impressed with what Detroit is doing, but I think I would still take the NFC field just for somebody to get hot here in the last 7 weeks, and then Mahomes.
You know? Okay. Yeah. I'll lean forward on that as well, just because of the AFC. To Eric's point there, I completely agree. But they're going to be there. Honestly, I'd love to see them win the Super Bowl. I think that'd be an amazing story. Yeah. First ever time for Detroit. Good for Dan Campbell. They're a team to root for right now. All right, how about this one, Gavin Doss? We were just talking Chiefs and Bills there. Eric brought them up. Despite the Bills, another regular season win over Kansas City, they will play in the playoffs, and the Chiefs will knock them out again.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you could bet against that. I think Buffalo played an incredible game, and watching them play, I kind of got the feeling that they are more determined and operating at a higher level than they have. But I just think when you get to January, the dynamic shift heavily in Patrick Mahomes' favor. Playoff football is just different. And it's about being able to be present and confident in these massive moments. And that is why the winner and loser shift so massively between the postseason and regular season. You know, I no disrespect to Buffalo at all, though. And they've surprised me. I picked them to be down. You know, they have made me eat crow here. They are a really, really good football team.
I thought they'd win this division this year still just because the AFC is – I mean, there were so many teams that you didn't really want to rely on, and they're kind of the tried and true. But I did not think they'd be as good as they have been so far. And it's a testament to McDermott and to Josh Allen.
Totally. Yeah, I will still – I'll go fart there because I do think that game's still going to end up being in Arrowhead. I'll take playoff Mahomes and Andy Reid over just about anybody. They're getting Charles Omenihu back, who is one of their best pass rushers. Mm-hmm. He's been out all season. Pacheco's going to still be coming back. And I think that this was a Buffalo game in Buffalo where this was like say whatever you want. Like this game mattered a ton.
You could tell it meant a lot to Josh Allen.
So and I think it's a heck of a game. Could go either way, but I will bet on Mahomes every time.
Yeah.
Give me Buffalo again. I mean yeah? I think okay. Give me Buffalo.
All right.
I mean I kind of you know you go back and you look at the score. They did a great job of pressuring Mahomes. They turned him over in this game. You know, you got a quarterback on the other side, I think, that's starting to become an elite-type guy in Josh Allen, the way he runs the football, the physicality they play with. That team's getting an identity. I think the Chiefs are doing it a lot right now because of their quarterback and their coaches. And I think they're a team that's probably, when we get down to the playoff time, that they're probably going to get beat. And that team in Buffalo, I think, can do it.
I think they definitely could do it. I'm going to go for it as well, just because I've told myself never bet against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and Spagnuolo in the playoffs. But there's something about Josh Allen right now. He's kind of got a different vibe.
He's got that look in his eye, huh?
He does. He does. He seems like I'm about to do this and go on that special run and finally make a legacy type of season for myself. All right, last one here, Eric. San Francisco, after losing to the Seahawks, they fall to 5-5. They got injuries going down. They're going to miss the playoffs.
Wow. I would need to look at their schedule, but I will still go fart on that. I'm going to trust them to figure it out.
Yeah, they've done this a number of times. At the beginning of their run, I think they were like 5-7 or 5-6 or something. They were two games below once we got in November and rallied. I know it's different this time around. Obviously, they're not the same team that they've been, and now that they are injured, that reality is in there. But I'm going to never underestimate the heart of an NFC champion, Wolchek.
That's true. They're not going to make the playoffs. Injuries and the fact that they're not even playing well at home nowadays. And then they go on the road not playing well either. So
and the offense isn't good.
Yeah, they are really, really struggling right now. And I think they're going to run out of time here. I think there's other teams in NFC that are going to find a way to get ahead of them. So, yeah, give me everybody but the 49ers.
Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago could be a tough game. Rams, obviously tough game. At Miami, who knows what they look like the week before Christmas. The Lions on this schedule. At Arizona, still remaining on the schedule. Yeah, I mean, a 9-8 or 8-9 year could definitely be in the cards for the Niners.
The injuries have been they can't overcome all the injuries they've had.
Now Bosa and Purdy banged up. Yeah.
It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has your G-Bag of the day.
All white bricks. 13 bricks. Big Godzilla, what up, brothers? I see you, brother.
How you doing, sir?
All right. When we last left off, Fan Phenom... Blake Elliott.
Oh!
Yeah. From the night show, The Fan After Dark here. He's still learning the ropes of broadcasting and the FCC rules, apparently. Because somebody told him, some phantom told him that you can talk like this on the radio. He still haven't told us who said this, but he said that you can say this.
Before we even get into it, for the 940, I knew three Taylors, and they were all bat crazy. Also a very unisex name. You don't agree?
No.
I mean, say it with your chest. If you don't agree, Kevin, you're giving me a crazy look. Do you not agree Taylor's a unisex name?
Like, I think Kevin's a little thrown off by that text you just read.
Yeah.
Which one?
I just wouldn't read it again.
The Taylors?
The 940?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into...
Thank you, Chris.
Blake it or leave it. We can say
No!
We can't?
What
a clown, bro.
Okay.
What a clown.
Yeah, everybody knows you can only say it after 10, Blake.
Say it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You guys are overreacting.
I love this as a bit, though, if somebody at the station was like, nah, yeah, you're good saying something
yeah,
like that,
of course. Blake. There's some other words you can say.
Go ahead, dude. You're the dumbass that'll say it. Go for it. Say it.
Yeah, man. Tell us who told you that, because they're a whole hater.
He blamed our entire show basically yesterday during cross.
He did.
It was a good effort.
It was our fault.
Yeah, he started pointing the finger.
Well. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was some splaining. Yeah. It really wasn't no real thing. He was just splaining. Yeah.
I love how Kevin was just shell shocked.
He was. Like, dude.
What do I do?
Wait, can you say that? Yes. I don't think you can say that.
Yeah, he was dizzy. Still couldn't believe it happened. Here's another guy that needs some media training. Anthony Edwards.
Ooh. Yep.
Yo, I'm telling y'all, he cusses a little too much. I'm telling you right now.
He does.
Yeah.
What did this one mean for you, and how important was it to get this at the end of this road trip?
Super f***ing important, man. I mean.
Come on, bro.
Yep.
That wasn't even necessary.
I mean, I kind of understand how a young Blake Elliott just starts cussing live on the radio because everywhere you turn on TV and the internet now, it's okay.
Everybody's
we're
cussing.
The only people that can't cuss.
We're the only people that can't cuss. Everybody else gets to talk how they want to talk.
Spittle even took the B word and the P word away from me over a decade ago.
Jeez. Yeah. That's why you don't say it like that anymore?
That's right.
That was a knockout, drag-out fight, man.
Used to lean on that P word hard.
You did. Yeah.
Bring that B and P back.
I'd even go D word on you.
Yeah, used to do that too. Yeah, you had me Googling when we first started working together. I was like, I don't know if you
should
can
dump that.
I don't know if you
stressed
can
out
say
every show.
That. Not sure, but let that man cook. All right, let's see what we got right now. Oh, let's go to Fox 2 Detroit. Detroit, what up, though?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a conversation about dark meat and white meat when it comes to chicken, your poultry, your yard bird, maybe some turkey right here, I believe they're talking about, because it's a Thanksgiving conversation. I think it's a Thanksgiving conversation. Anyway, this conversation is outrageous, and she's talking to one individual.
It's time to talk turkey, ladies and gentlemen. Dark meat, fattier, juicier. I love that dark meat.
I know you
That's
do.
That's what I went
I know you do.
I went right after it with that leg yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, there was no thought about getting a knife and getting those breasts with the white meat.
It's white meat.
It was all about that leg.
You prefer the dark meat as well?
I have always preferred dark meat, but if things don't work out this Thanksgiving, I think I'm going to switch and start going after the white meat.
What?
And I mean that sincerely.
Sure you do. Hey, ma'am.
That was the tower.
You have to be able to work with it. You just got to be, you know, I think I can work with the white meat. I do. You can trust the white meat. It's pretty good. It's a little dry. It's consistent. It's reliable.
That's why you gotta put some gravy on.
It's always a little dry.
It's so reliable.
But we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I'm switching over.
I'm switching over.
That is crazy. Dark meat is somewhere sitting on the couch watching this with his fist clenched like, oh my God. She just crashed out on me, dog.
Watching baby girl at work do her thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's my girl on the news, man. Yeah, turn it on real quick.
They spent a full minute talking about that.
Ah, yeah, she was serious.
Well done.
That's
poor,
awesome.
Poor fella. He's out here somewhere hurt.
She means it sincerely.
She me, yeah. Switching up.
She might have come home to an empty house.
Oh, I hope so. He packed his Jordans up. I'm out of here.
Just a note. Saw your little newscast.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Me and my Camaro, my Jordans, we're out of here, buddy. Take my weave.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. One more. Let's go to Philly. McDonald's drive-thru. Dude was in the bathroom, but he was still trying to take some orders or at least give directions.
Oh.
I'm in the bathroom.
You're in the bathroom?
What are you doing? Yes, I'm the one that's taking the orders, but I'm in the bathroom, so we're only going to do DoorDash or Uber Eats.
You're admitting to a customer. You're in the bathroom doing what?
I'm in the bathroom. We're only doing DoorDash or Uber Eats at the moment.
So I can't order a small fry?
We don't do small at nighttime, baby. Everything is large, and I'm in the bathroom. You had to wait 10 minutes.
So can I just wait
10 minutes?
For you to miss.
No. You're the joke. You're telling a customer through the freaking headphone set that you're in the toilet.
Okay, we're not taking orders at the moment, ma'am.
Because you're on the toilet?
I have to pee. How can I take an order if I'm in the bathroom?
Honestly, this is a bit much for me.
I'm in the bathroom. I'm not entitled to go to the bathroom because you want a small fry.
Well said.
Yeah. It's not like that was Khalees ordering at McDonald's at night, by the way. Man, that Philly accent is hilarious. That in Baltimore. I can't tell which one sometimes.
They're right there by each other.
They're right there. Bathroom.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I was trying to figure out if I thought that gal was cute or not.
You know? What?
Yeah. Listening to her?
Oh, what'd yeah, you yeah. She had the Khalees voice, the kind of raspy, cheerleader yeah. type of vibes.
Yeah. What's your yeah. rule? Definitely likes to party.
100%.
I would solid say seven? A seven. Yes. Yeah. Seven was my exact number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on three different type of drugs right now.
Yes. Yeah. She's got a wine cooler in the little cup holder. Yeah. This gal.
Smeared off.
Yes, sir. Is it Blake, our one-time champ with the assist from Kevin and Chris? Is it Anthony Edwards talking about the super effing important dub they got? A conversation over dark and white meat on the evening news. And Philly McDonald's drive-through worker, very committed to communication. Yes. I think you could say that about him, you know. Okay.
He said 10 minutes. I cannot put a time on my situation. Yeah, I hit you up when I'm out of here, dog.
I mean, he said it was a pee.
Yeah,
so I hope he's okay.
He
I hope he's okay. Oh, you never sit and pee at work. Yeah.
His legs fell asleep.
Oh, God bless him.
I'm voting for Blake, though, God Chief. Bless
him. Yeah, same here, man. Going with the champ.
Oh, yeah. Big Blake in the building.
Bully.
It's a hell of a selection.
I don't even know if he realizes he's in the building.
Yeah, it's a tough vote today, though. There's some good ones.
I'll go with the champ as well, though.
I'll throw a vote in there for Detroit News.
Okay, yeah. I thought they deserved at least one vote for that.
They carried it on.
By a score of 4-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion is Blake Elliott. You'll hear from him next coming up in Crosstalk at about 6:40, 6:45. We'll chat with those guys, see what they have cooking for the evening show. Okay, now coming up next, Chia Fall, a little college.
Yeah, I got a college football hump day darty for you featuring more Dan Lanning propaganda. And boys, we have ourselves a good old-fashioned source off next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. NFL News today is coming up at 3 o'clock. A lot happening in pro football. But right now it's time for that college football hump day darty with our guy Eric.
Let's do it, man. Turns out Shedeur Sanders has committed to... playing in the East-West Shrine Bowl coming up after the college football season. We start the draft process. I guess he's not going to be, of course, Senior Bowl eligible, so he's going with the East-West Shrine game. You don't usually see big-name studs like that, do you?
Shiloh's also going to be doing it.
Yeah. I heard there's a few players on the team that were planning on.
Yeah, they have.
And I wonder if that has a lot to do with it. Like, I don't – Shiloh, who's probably going to be a lesser draft prospect, I'm going to go with my brother, support him. But I think ultimately you're right. Last year we actually had a really good group at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Isaac Arendo, who's now been doing great with San Francisco, was one of the standouts that ended up going Frank Gore Jr. But typically the bigger names, to your point, do go to the Senior Bowl. But this is going to be great because it'll be at AT&T Stadium this year. It won't be at the Star in Frisco, the actual game. And I think it's going to be awesome publicity for all the other players there, because you will have probably more people talking about it because of Shedeur being there.
Yeah.
You think the players are getting a bag?
No. And actually, I asked this question of Eric Galco, right? Who's the director of it. And he was very, very kind to answer me back. He says, we've never paid a player, nor do we compensate any players that attend. We aim to do things the right way and provide an awesome experience. And thankfully, more and more players and coaches and agency, the value over the year, the value over other events every year. And that's what he said. Because I was curious. Clarence Hill first asked me the question, and I didn't know, and I reached out to Eric because I know Eric, and he was nice enough. We've had Eric on the air before, and he that was his statement to me. Is like, no, we try and do things the right way.
Big fan of Eric, love what he's done for college football and draft prospects, but claiming the ethical high ground that you're doing the right thing by not paying is weird to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, they're, to me, they're, I had questions
about. We're doing the right thing here, paying the players.
Well, the NIL stuff. The reason I asked him the question is, and Clarence and I asked the question because of NIL money.
Yeah.
You know, are now bowl games having to pay. And for a long time, that's been a big, big, big no-no, you know, with these bowl games and with the agents and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe the choice of words, but I like I said, I just appreciate him answering back.
No, it was a great answer. Yeah. Yeah. Love that you can go right to the source there.
Yeah. So we'll see Shedeur. I'm sure you guys had fun with the Shedeur, Dion, Michael Irvin conversation yesterday. And I think it's a moot point just because of the Dak situation. Had you not given Dak the contract, we would be legitimately talking about that. Like, that is a real situation. I don't see how plausible it is given the circumstances with Dak and whatnot. But man, that would have been pretty legendary stuff. Now you have Quinn Ewers getting set to take on Kentucky and potentially his final game at DKR. And Steve Sarkisian was asked about it. Mm-hmm. Like, is this going to be his last game?
Do they host a playoff game maybe?
Yeah, so we kicked this around a little bit yesterday because they do play Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah. And Quinn, we played the audio of Quinn, and he was non-committal towards it too.
Yeah.
So now it could really cause, like I threw out there, this could cause a problem for next year. Like, Quinn's probably going to hit the portal because draft stock's lowered. But yeah, we did get a text in with a good point that they could possibly host a playoff game.
If they win the conference, right? They get they'll probably be in the top four. Yeah.
So maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that's why. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm Quinn Ewers right now,
I don't know what his draft stock is.
I don't think he's a first rounder. I think he's a day two pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the injury stuff, and then...
I said this, he's Drew Locke to me, from Missouri. Remember Drew Locke from Missouri when he was kind of some really great days where you couldn't stop him? Other days, it's like, who is this player?
When he's on, he's on.
Yeah.
It's all like he gets so rattled under pressure. I know a lot of quarterbacks, like, we can say that, but some handle that better than others. He gets happy feet, and it just looks like things are really spiraling for him.
I just see how he never pushes the ball down the field. Like, he's not, like, average depth of target is like under 6 yards.
I think he threw it a little more with that receiver that's at Kansas City now. They tried
Worthy.
Mitchell.
Yeah.
I mean, their offense is a little built now on let's get the ball out wide to our skill players and then
get horizontal with it.
But yes, I mean,
even last season, he was
drastic.
His completion percentage on passes that traveled further than 20 yards, he was 73rd in the country, 34%.
Sure.
The year before that, in 2022, it was 30%, and that was 89th. In the country. Like, he hasn't been a downfield passer. I mean, that didn't really, I guess, affect things for Bo Nix.
I just remember the Alabama game where they had that big play middle.
There's times the deep ball for him can look great.
So I just brought up Dak's contract real quick just to think, like, how realistic is it? And based on what I can tell, $85 million of it guarantees in March of 26 and 27, you know, 40 and then 45. So after 2025, right, after one more year, now, would you want to sit Shador or another candidate, or would you just want to draft a guy after 2025? Probably more likely. Let's build it with Dak. And if we're horrible next year, too, then we could be looking at getting
Arch Manning
off of Dak at just a $62 million hit. You post June 1 that, you break that up 21 year, 40 the next. That's manageable. After one more year, it would be manageable.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I do think there are ways to do it, but like just...
Not right now.
Cowboys is
maybe if he's terrible next year.
Yeah, like that scenario there, if it's another disaster season next year and he's not looking like himself, then I guess everything could be on the table. And then at that point, maybe Arch Manning, even though, I don't know, he might just be staying as long as he might go Van Wilder at Texas because
I love it so much.
Why not?
He might be such a star, you know, that the bag could be bigger than the NFL rookie salary scale.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For shiz.
And for quarterbacks, you can stay. Like, the age thing now with quarterbacks, it's not as big of a deal for them. So, hey, for Arch, stay as long as you want, buddy.
The Dan Lanning propaganda continues. They just beat Wisconsin, and they're known for their jump around bit that they do, which is a fantastic song. Got the girls in the van from time to time. We'll bump that, have a good time with it. But we know that's their calling card there at Wisconsin games. And so
did he call a timeout to watch it?
No, no, he did not. But that was a great bit from a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I love that. It was versus Michigan.
Yeah. The big house.
It's like at some point, these fans are going to leave early because you're going to be tearing them up. And when they did, he called the timeout just so his team could acknowledge. It was pretty awesome. But leading up to the game, he says, whenever we hear this song, he like opened his team meeting going into the week last week with this song playing. And he says, whenever we hear this, I want our tempo to change. I want the temperature of the room to change. When we hear it at practice, I want you to say to yourself, bleep's about to get serious. Well, they go into the fourth quarter
versus Wisconsin down 13-6.
Yeah.
And in that transition from third quarter to fourth quarter, guess what song's playing?
Oh, sure.
This one. Jump around time. Well, that was Bleep's about to get real time, because then Oregon goes on and scores 10 unanswered points, and they win 16-13.
Let's go.
And they remain undefeated. So, Dan Lanning, the stock just continues to skyrocket. He's fantastic.
So, how did he govern this? How did he manage this for the team?
So he played the song in the opening, like the first meeting of the week and lead up to the game. He had this song playing, and he says, "We're going to play it at practice. And when I play it at practice, you guys need to understand, it's time to flip a switch."
He was doing Pavlov's dog thing.
Yes, the Zoolander.
So he showed also the people about that.
There you go. You play Frankie Goes to Hollywood, he assassinates the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Exactly. So he's trying, mentally, we're doing this all week. So now when you hear it at the game, now mentally we're salivating. We have flipped the switch, and now we're ready to kill.
And that's what they did. They went for the kill in the fourth quarter. They were trailing, and then they go 10 unanswered. They get the victory. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Hire Dan Lanning.
How about
we call him Dan Manning, like you did with Man Campbell?
Ooh. Yeah. Hey. I'm in on it.
I love that.
How about this, dude? The Gamecocks, South Carolina,
they're rolling right now.
As a rabid home field advantage, needs to be talked about more.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were trailing.
Bryce Williams Stadium, not an easy place to play.
And they got put into a frenzy there late in the game because their running back, Rocket Sanders, which all-time football name, running back name, he scores with 15 seconds left in the game. They take the lead. They win. And the place went so crazy that it actually registered there in Columbia an earthquake.
Yeah.
Building apparently was literally shaking. And the broadcast crew was like, "Oh my gosh, this is nuts!" And whatever the I forget what the actual the seismograph or whatever it registered, created like activity that registered on the seismographs.
Yeah. That's amazing.
We might have it was like a man-made earthquake there. So shout out to the Gamecocks fans; they're legit.
That's sick.
We had the same thing happen at LSU. We beat Auburn in '88, and it registered. It was a game-winning final. Second touchdown, and it registered on the school's seismograph. They have a chart. You can see it just bouncing.
What a notch on
like the beast mode quake.
Yeah, it was pretty, I tell you what, we tried to call for the extra point team. It was so loud. I mean, literally was just screaming, you know, to get everybody organized, and you couldn't even, it was like you were yelling and just nobody was hearing you. I mean, everybody's looking at each like, what?
What an experience.
What? Yeah,
got to mime the call.
Yeah, mime the call.
And then we do have a source off here quickly. It looks like FAU, obviously, they have moved on from Tom Herman. Schefter reported that there might be a Deion Sanders to Colorado model that is being followed at FAU with Ray Lewis emerging as a head coach candidate. I'm like, all right, I like this. That's a leader of men right there. And then shortly after the Schefter report, CBS Sports immediately responded with not happening. There's been no direct communication between Lewis and the school at this point. It's highly unlikely that Ray Lewis ends up the head coach at FAU. So we have a CBS Sports Matt Zenitz versus Adam Schefter's source off. We'll see who wins.
All right, great stuff. And that college football, Darty, 214. You do know they'll restructure the DAC cap hit next year from that 90, so it's going to change the 2026 cap hit.
That's a good call.
And make it higher. That is a very good point. You know, I guess they could let a lot of it ride and have a horrible year, you know, cutting everybody. That would really set them up for a top five pick. That would be long-term team building that we've never seen from the Joneses. So NFL news today coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
The strangest time Shefty broke his story. Drama in the Big Apple. And is this delusion or confidence next?